Slash walks in with an overweight Madonna, orders two Bud Lights and a cranberry vodka. Marilyn Monroe dances dirty with Darth Vader. James Dean holds hands with the Cher impersonator. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rock and roll Halloween. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rock and roll Halloween. Drinking with the
good morning and welcome to episode 128 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for coming around. This is a international basketball podcast where we look at what else international basketball. So this might actually be one of the shortest shows. If I think back to some of the shows that Oz and I did together and I come back and look at this one, I think this very well be maybe the absolute shortest. But you know what? If you don't have much time, you don't have much time. Actually, I didn't talk too much last week. It was mainly the interview with JR. We'll talk a little bit after the interview, just a little bit about what else was discussed in the interview. Before I get to the interview, do the housekeeping. You can catch me on my website at hinnews.com. Catch me on Twitter at Hein News, HEINNEWS. You can go catch us in the Facebook group. Just put in Taking the Charge and then you can join the group. And what am I missing? Email. Still get plenty of emails. So Hein News, HEINNEWS at gmx.de is the email. Go to iTunes. Rate and review us, please. Would be fantastic to get some of those. So like I said, loads and loads of work. Unfortunately, I know I've been keep saying that, I'm going to go at it again and really just kind of introduce the interview right away. Just because I haven't had time to watch much basketball. So I had a chance to, I did a piece over the weekend, last week for my FIBA column. I did a thing on the Basketball Without Borders, global camp, which took place in New York City at the All-Star Day festivities there. And had a chance to talk before that, had a chance to talk to Brooks Meek, the NBA Vice President of Basketball Operations. He sort of runs the Basketball Without Borders program, oversees it. So I had a chance to chat with him about it. So here's that, and we'll catch you on the other side. Why don't you this is the first time that the Basketball Without Borders Global Camp has taken place. Maybe just go about sort of the reasoning why you wanted to put this event together.
That's a good question. So partnering with FIBA and in discussions with FIBA World, we were looking at, you know, ways that we could really celebrate the program and celebrate the accomplishments of the program, participants of the program, coaches and players from the NBA and FIBA that have helped with the program over the course of years. And we identified the NBA All-Star Weekend would be a perfect time to highlight the successes of the program and reward those that have participated in, and maybe some of the players or participants that didn't have a chance to come for whatever reason in the past that were targeted. And so we talked with our sponsor, Nike, and developed the concept that we should have the best of the best come to All-Star Weekend and continue to work with and develop those players and give an opportunity to maybe some people who haven't had a chance to interface with the program a look into what we do. And that's how the concept was born.
And so these are guys that weren't at any of the Basketball Without Border, let's call them continental camps?
Predominantly, the kids that are invited to the global camp did participate in Basketball Without Borders. There were some kids that were selected that we had tried to or wanted to have at our continental camps, but for whatever reason, whether it be injury, club duty, other, you know, family vacation or whatever, did not get the opportunity to attend the continental camp. So either they were targeted or they did participate. But in general, we were looking for, you know, what we're really looking for is the best of the best born in that age range.
And maybe, I mean, the best of the best, and I mean, there's a, you know, a sort of a, I would imagine sort of a ranking system or whatnot, but maybe a little bit about, talk a little bit about the selection process of the players.
Yeah, definitely. So best of the best, and we also wanted to have some balance across countries, mm-hmm. because there are some stronger basketball countries that could have dominated the selections from that region. So we, you know, working with Zoran Radovich and FIBA World, we determined to try to have an equitable balance across the region as much as we could, knowing the talent that we had scouted and observed and looked at. And we did, obviously, a ranking system. And then what we did is we cross-referenced that with a number of different networks that also scout. So NBA scouts, FIBA scouts, coaches, national federations, and even our partner Nike and their network of scouting. So we cross-referenced all of the different reports, analyzed it, and came up with the eventual target list.
Okay. And obviously there's the events that people know that go on at the All-Star weekend. What kind of activities did these young players go through then?
Okay. Yeah. So during the camp, we put them through a couple things. We put them through a advanced sports training, sports development program called Fusionetics, and you can look that up and you'll see more about that. It's a diagnostic injury prevention, core ability. So we put them through a Fusionetics program. They did life skills. So we had NBA players from each of the continents, you know, select players come in and share their story about how they became NBA players, did question and answers, try to really mentor the kids through those life skills seminars. Off the court, they had a chance to attend the game, the rookie sophomore game, the Rising Stars game, excuse me. They had a chance to go to the dunk contest, three-point contest, the skills challenge, all of that on Saturday night. They had a chance to go to the All-Star game, actual All-Star game last night. They went to a fan activity engagement called NBA House, where the NBA gets a chance to work with its fans and engage them in a, you know, series of different activities. They went to a Nike activation called Zoom, which gave them a chance to interface with our partner Nike and all the products and athletes that they work with. We had a chance for them to go to a reception dinner at a restaurant in New York City. The restaurant's owned by former Basketball Porters player Danilo Gallinari. So I think that they had a really full schedule. They did a lot of fun stuff. I'm sure they're tired today for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned Gallinari. I know that Splitter was there as well. How did you select the guys and Georgie Jang was there as well. How did you select the guys that the NBA players that would be on hand to give them that aspect as well? How did they get chosen?
So, part of my full-time job at the NBA is working with all the international players on a personal basis and working to support them. And I meet with players regularly, and I talk about the things that we're doing, whether it's Basketball Without Borders or charitable activities the NBA is engaged in. So in our conversations and meeting with players, we talked about this new program, or not new program, but new twist to basketball that borders is happening during All-Star Weekend. And when they had identified that they were going to be in New York and that they wanted to be a part of it, further, we were actually targeting trying to find players that were from the region. So we wanted to play from Africa, we wanted to play from Europe. You know, unfortunately, Steven Adams got injured and couldn't attend because he was also going to be a part of the Asia-Oceanic region. So it was, you know, through personal relationships. And also, you know, Gorgie was a Basketball at Borders alumni. He went to the camp. Danilo Gallinari was a Basketball at Borders alumni. He went to the camp. So they had a unique perspective, and we wanted them to engage based on their pathway to getting the NBA.
It's the first ever. Is there going to be a second? Or is it too early to say right now?
No, 100%. We'll be in Toronto, and we're excited about it. And, you know, really looking forward to, you know, doing it again and having, you know, the same success that we had this weekend in New York.
Maybe a couple of things that really went really well, and maybe one or two things that you're looking forward to maybe tweaking and improving for the next one.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, and I've been at the NBA for 10 years and done every Basketball at Borders camp in those 10 years since I've been here, I think that the things that went really well, the talent level was unbelievable. The players were really the best of the best. They truly felt grateful and appreciative of having the opportunity and were so engaged and into what we were trying to accomplish. And folding it into All-Star Weekend, the entire NBA, FIBA family of coaches, players, front office scouts, everybody really engaged in the program. So those were major successes for us. You know, everybody came and nobody got injured, which is a huge thing. You always worry about injuries, and we were lucky enough to make sure that, and you know, that no injuries happened. I think the only thing that I could say as far as tweaks and things I'd like to try to improve is we had a packed gym, and we needed a little more space for some of the observers and some of the media and the people that were there so that they could have a comfortable environment. We anticipated this would be well received, but operating in a smaller gym like Baruch, we probably needed a little more space to make sure that people could you know, watch and observe the program. Yeah, and I think outside of that, and I'm being quite honest, I don't think that there were any other areas that we really need to tweak or improve. That said, there are always little small details that we'll be looking at, and if, you know, trying to figure out, you know, timing of when we do the skill stations versus when we have the life skills, and just tweaking the schedule, I think, is a continual you know, point of improvement that we'll be looking at.
And the number of players, are you pretty happy with? I think it was actually 39, and one guy, I think the Tunisian, wasn't able to play. Is that a number that you think is a really good fit?
Yes, absolutely. We target you know, a little bit over 40, you know, and know that there's going to be certain players that have some commitments to clubs or injuries that happen or, you know, different things that come up. But 40 is the number that we're very happy with.
Was there anybody? I mean, Bender, what's his?
Dragon Bender,
of course. Dragon Bender won the MVP of the tournament of the event, or the most outstanding player, yeah, or whatnot. Were there any guys that really sort of impressed you? I don't know how much you're at liberty to talk about the individual players, but obviously at least say something about him and how impressive he was, and if there was anybody else that you really thought really stood out.
Well, you know, you're right. It's a little bit unfair for me in the position of the NBA to talk specifically about an individual player, because it can be interpreted that I'm predicting that they're going to be in NBA, and we have rules that prevent us from really talking about draft ineligibles in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I would like to stay away from a specific player and just answer the question more in general, mm-hmm, in that from each of the regions we had various players who came in with a lot of talent. And in a few cases, there were players that exceeded our expectations on how they had or how much we thought they had developed. They developed much faster and better in a short amount of time since we saw them at the camps during the summer.
Okay. As somebody in America or somebody that follows NFL football, you know, there's the combine. Would you say that this is sort of along the lines of that, or do you think that it's just sort of a different,
I would put it this way. You know, obviously we have our pre-draft combine. There's the, you know, other combines for other sports. And the purpose of those are to really evaluate draft eligible players that are going to be coming into and evaluated and looking to be drafted. The purpose of what we did here in modeling it, we wanted to reduce the amount of hardcore on-court time, because we do know that these kids are in season. We understand that it's you know, a reward event versus really trying to, we're targeting, we're working towards instruction and development, but we wanted to be very careful to balance between the hardcore development and, you know, the reward and instruction and such. So what we did is we took elements of a combine type of event for the purpose of giving the players feedback that will help them develop as they move towards becoming, you know, better basketball players. So I think when you look at a combine, the information that's pulled is for teams, clubs to evaluate and look for what decisions they might make in that draft. We took elements of that so that the individual player, the federation, the club, the parent can take away some key information that the kid can use for his own individual development with his federation, club, national team, et cetera. Okay. So elements of a combine type of an event for sure, but with the purpose of giving the kids solid feedback that will help them develop versus evaluation.
Last question. This is sort of, I guess we'll say the start of the Basketball Without Borders season, right? I mean, there's the continental camps. Are those schedules out? And what are you looking forward to? This summer.
Locations will be coming. We are scheduled. I can tell you in generality, we are scheduled to have the Basketball Without Borders in the Americas continent, or Americas region. We will have one in Europe. We will have one in Africa. And just so you know, in Americas and Asia, year, but what we supplement in the year that they don't have a Basketball Without Borders in that region is a team camp that we invite for teams from targeted countries to participate in a team camp. So we will have a team camp in the Asia's region, which includes Australia and New Zealand teams.
Okay, fantastic. Brooks Meeks, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
No, absolutely. Thank you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to look at this program. It's a beautiful program. We love it, and if there's anything else, you know, Elliot or I can help you out with, love to know.
Yeah, I mean, great. It's you know, any international camp with youngsters is right up my alley, because, you know, that's okay. What I write about. So it's great to catch some insight into this one.
You bet. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Okay. Yeah, good stuff. If you go and look at the piece, and I'll try to remember to link it on the page, and maybe post it in the Facebook group. We'll see if I remember to do that. I also, in my FIBA column, I got a couple comments from some of the players who are on hand. DJ Vasilievich from Australia, Santiago Yusta, the Spanish youngster, as well as Nicholas Kiel, who's actually, the interview with him has been on the show, so people might know him a little bit, but he was in there as well. Yeah, good stuff. And great program. And actually, you know, I didn't realize that the All-Star Weekend is going to be in in Toronto next year, 2016, and might head up there, might head over there. Should have to see how the schedule looks next year, but would be fun. I wanted to mention before the interview that I would kind of talk a little bit. So obviously there was the FIBA column that I did, but I just wanted to kind of relay some of the feedback that I've gotten from other people about the tournament, about the camp. Just was kind of looking at seeing who were some of the best guys. I don't know if it's any sort of judgment at all, but up until now, right now, the two guys that Draft Express have looked at, I haven't had a chance to actually look through it, but I did see that Draft Express guys put him up were Dragan Bender and then who obviously everybody knows, but also the Finnish youngster Lauri Markkanen. I just wanted to kind of pass along some of the thoughts, so you can read those, some of the other thoughts I've got from feedback from some of those guys who were at the tournament. Jacob Larson, who actually is going to be at the Adidas Next Generation tournament, which is going on this weekend, his comment about him was good motor, fighter, active, seems to care, prefers the paint area, but can face and drive it from the high post. Another guy that was sort of out there was Maximo Ferreiro, the Argentinian, rugged, tough guy, kind of a Ginobili type, inconsistent shooter. Andrea Latore, who obviously was at the U17 European Championship, World Championship last year, and I imagine will probably be there for Italy this year at the this summer at the U19 World Championship. Shooter, good length, size, can initiate, play some point guard, but more of a natural off the ball guy. Tom Wilson, another Australian, looks like a surfer. But was best passer in the tournament, knows how to play, and can make a shot with the feet set. I liked Wilson from the U17s this past summer, and really look forward to seeing what he's able to do this summer at the U19s for Australia. And three other guys, Markkanen, evaluation, bad body and below average length. Shows flashes of skills for size, but a long way to go. And then there's the Angolan Silvio De Souza, who was at the under-17s as well. Athlete, low skill level, finisher, motor, runner. And then Guillermo Santos, tough point guard. Always on the attack, good feel, good length, size for position. Good speed, leader, and aware. So those are just a couple of guys that's some of the people out there were kind of looking at from the camp, might not necessarily be the best guys, in no particular order in that evaluation. But take it as you will. So that was the Basketball Without Borders camp. I think it's a great idea to have the global camp, just to bring everybody, you know, sort of the best of the best to the, to one spot. And I mean, sure, it sounds like sort of a combine, but you know, it definitely did sound like they had a lot. And you know, Brooks Meek said, you know, yeah, they're probably tired, and just listening to what they ended up doing, and you can imagine that they were probably pretty exhausted. Mentioned that I will be heading to Belgrade for the. For the Adidas Nations next generation tournament, and I think I will actually save my thoughts on that until next week, maybe might even have somebody who's there with me to kind of talk about the people who are there, some of the players that are there. I will be writing a FIBA column, sort of previewing some of the guys there. So that'll be up on Thursday. So you can take a look at maybe some of the guys that some of the guys that might be the top standouts. Yeah, I mean, Red Stars, obviously, Servina Zvezda, is obviously going to be, you know, the favorites going in. They bring back quite a bit of the team that won the whole tournament last year. And, Arnautovic, will be there. Stojanovic, Rakasevic, will be back as well. So I think there's four Serbian teams, if I'm not mistaken. Megalex, which was Mega Vizura, Zamun, Partizan, Partizan, and then Tsvena, Zvezda, Falozen, which is the Danish team with Jacob Larsson. Then there is an Italian team from Venice. Alba Berlin will be there, and I'm drawing a blank on the fifth, on the eighth team. Must be Canarias, Canarias Basketball Academy. I think actually that's probably who my interview next week will be with, the coach of the Canarias Basketball Academy. Really interesting group. So those are the eight teams. Like I said, more information next week. There will be the column I'll have this week on Thursday, and I'll try to remember to post it. But if not, you can just go to FIBA.com and then look for it there. I think I'm going to call it a week, call it a show, because like I said, just too much stuff I got going on. I need to finish before I head out to Belgrade. So the music of the week this week, all the music that we listen to is on freemusicarchive.org. And the tune this week is Rock and Roll Halloween, from Bobby Bear Jr. Yes, Bobby Bear Jr. Again, last week we had, Sad Smile and, giving you a second dose of him. A little ditty about a Halloween party. This one's live on KEXP. Again, it's available on freemusicarchive.org. So go check that out. Go check out. Go continue to check out the EuroLeague. One of these days we'll get back to a EuroLeague focus. I guess we had a little bit of that with JR last week, but maybe focus mainly on your league stuff. But until then, enjoy, and we'll catch you in a week's time.
Slash walks in with an overweight Madonna, orders two Bud Lights and a cranberry vodka. Marilyn Monroe dances dirty with Darth Vader. James Dean holds hands with the Cher impersonator. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rock and roll Halloween. Georgia, rock and roll Halloween. Drinking with the Dixie Chicks from Nashville, Tennessee. The fat one is flirting with me. Head scissor hands gets angry while wrestling the cigarette machine. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rock and roll Halloween. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rock and roll Halloween.
saw things I hope you never, never ever have to see. I saw Elvis make out with Jesus in a yellow on me. Lowly you, lowly me, dancing drunk on Halloween. Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, rockin'
This is Patrick Bauman, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.